Culture first.
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 Culture first. Culture first.
Culture first.
Culture first.
Culture first.
Culture first.
Culture first.
Culture first.
Culture first. Culture first.
This week marks International Women's Day. It's a day of collective global activism and celebration that belongs to all of those who are committed to forging women's equality. When it comes to creating real change in the world, awareness is key, but awareness on its own is not enough. Taking action is how we improve not only our workplaces, but also our world. This episode, this is a call to action. My guest today is Jamila Rizvi. Jamila is Deputy Managing Director of Future Women, where she supports governments and employer organizations working towards gender equality. What you're about to hear is the email that she would like us to be sending to CEOs around the world who want to know how can they improve the world of work for women. I hope this podcast is not only a conversation starter, but also a way to share practical advice on what we can do to create real change. All right, let's get started and head on over to my conversation with Jamila.
I always would start with safety first. And I would say that every organisation, including this hypothetical one, needs to stop thinking about sexual harassment and in the workplace as a HR issue and start thinking about sexual harassment as an occupational health and safety issue. If your employees are not safe at work, that is not about interpersonal relationships and that person's experience of being your employee. That is about them being safe at work. And if you think about the extraordinary amount of money that is spent in this country by building and construction companies, mining companies, for example, on making sure their employees are safe while doing risky work, imagine if we took that same lens and that same urgency and adamancy around safety to ensuring that women were free of sexual harassment and discrimination and victimization in workplaces. So my first point would be, think about how you're keeping people safe from sexual harassment. Make training mandatory for staff. Make sure there is a confidential, clear complaints mechanism for people to follow. Explore the provision of paid domestic and family violence leave. And provide training for frontline responders to sexual harassment in workplaces, because often it is not HR who hears it first. It is an ordinary line manager who does not know what to do. I would be looking at addressing your pay gaps. Don't tell me you don't have one, because the chances are you do. It is illegal to pay different people different amounts of money for the same work because of their gender. Start there. Start with your audit and rectify unequal pay. I'd then be looking at broader company-wide pay gaps. Why is it that that pay gap exists in your organisation? And most organisations have them. The WGEA data shows us that different industries have different degrees of a pay gap, but all industries experience them. I talked a little bit earlier about transparency of pay gap data, transparency of salary bands, and a review of discretionary payments. Often pay gaps increase because of discretionary payments, bonuses, superannuation, gifts, that kind of thing. I'd be looking at how you can be more explicitly fair about that. We've talked a little bit about gender and language in promotion and recruitment, so I won't go into that further, but I would make sure you're prioritising that. And then finally, I would be looking at work-life balance and the idea of how that is modelled, how that is prioritised, and how that is accepted. How do you create an acceptance of the very diverse and individual lives your employees lead? And I'm not talking about a diversity of just those employees. And I'm not talking about diversity, meaning that you've diversified your marketing department to make sure the glossy brochure looks diverse. I'm talking about recruiting, retaining and promoting diverse employees and then supporting them to be able to attain work-life balance in a way that is meaningful and real. And that means senior leaders in the organization demonstrating and modeling that balance, creating informal opportunities to have conversations with women and with various minorities and people who face disadvantage at work, especially those who don't work full-time in the physical office. Avoid promoting presenteeism. try to make sure that your office culture is inclusive at home as well as at work. And when you give feedback, ask for feedback about how you give it. I think so often we always think we're giving great, helpful, useful feedback, and too often employees, particularly women, who face some kind of barrier or disadvantage, don't have the opportunity to say, this doesn't work for me, this isn't helping me. Happy to go on with my memo, but that feels like a good start.
If this conversation has left you wanting more, the link to the full episode is in the show notes. I'm Damon Klotz, and the Culture First podcast is brought to you by the team here at CultureAmp, the world's leading employee experience platform. Learn more about CultureAmp by heading to cultureamp.com. We believe in creating a better world of work, and if that's important to you, please subscribe and leave us a review to make sure that you don't miss a single episode.